I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Show, the final show of the year. Yes, time to kick 2012 right out the window, man. Heading into 2013. And you know what? 2013 is going to be a banner year for a lot of people. I just feel it. 13 is such a lucky number. Welcome to you guys in the chat room. Let's get some business out of the way first for you guys that are listening in the queue. Remember, you can hit that number one on your dial pad. There's already a few of you there. Hit the number one on your dial pad, and we'll put you right on air. For the rest of you guys who are listening live, 858-683-1326 and 502-805-0334 are the call-in numbers. I tell you, man, I'm really looking forward to this. Ed Martin will not be joining us tonight. He got a hold of me about 10 minutes ago and said that his wife decided that they were going to dinner. Now, why you would do that on a show night is beyond me, but hey, you know what? It's the end of the year. Let him have one. What the heck? Couple of things real quick. I want to start with sports, but we're going to get into a lot of things. We're going to get into Benghazi. I love Piers Morgan. I think we need to deport this guy. I'll buy him a one-way ticket out of here. A whole lot of things we're going to jump into. But for you sports nuts, and the reason I got to bring this up, quite frankly, is our NFL Fantasy League is over. My son actually won the Fantasy League. I actually was playing for fifth place last night, and, I don't think I won that. I haven't checked today. It was pretty pathetic, to be honest with you. But a lot going on in the NFL today. Just to give you some updates for you guys who have been following us through the Fantasy League and stuff, the Arizona Cardinals fired their coach. San Diego Chargers fired their coach and their general manager. The Buffalo Bills fired their coach. Chicago Bears fired their coach. Kansas City Chiefs fired their coach. The Cleveland Browns fired their coach and a general manager. And this is one team that everybody's been really wondering what was going to happen. The New York Jets. There was speculation going on last week that Rex Ryan was going to be fired. Turns out Rex Ryan actually kept his job. But they fired the general manager, Mike Tannenbaum, which should help Rex Ryan because that's always been a point of contention with the Jets. The Eagles, of course, fired Andy Reid. And the Jags fired their general manager as well. Sometimes we just got to get that stuff out there. And that's just the way it is. Everybody wants to pay attention to the NFL. The field is set for the playoffs. I'm kind of looking forward to the playoffs myself. I got a couple of favorites. We'll get into that later in the week or maybe next week. We have Mr. Truth himself, Dale the Truth Gillespie, with us. Oh, my goodness, you're early. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, I heard that you didn't have a co-host, so I thought I'd better call in and help you out.
Oh, man, so you're saying I can't carry my own show. That's pretty sad.
I didn't say
sad.
This is what the crowd tells me.
Well, actually, I'm glad you're here because we're going to get into a lot of things. You know, the focus of this show is the guns, drugs, and a fiscal cliff. I just find it so comical when we look at everything that's going on. And Stop Invisible Taxes in the chat room. They actually said to deport Piers. Yes, deport Piers Morgan. Put his ass on a one-way boat, name it the Titanic, and set sail and see what happens. It doesn't bother me a bit. You know, it is now. Now, let's go ahead and get into that story. Dale, since you're here, because I love this. Piers Morgan has threatened to deport himself. You heard that right. He has threatened to deport himself if the United States government does not roll back the Second Amendment. Now, here we have a non-citizen in our country making millions of dollars of our money to tell us that we have to roll back the guns or he's going to leave. Do we really care?
I mean, I don't care. I mean, I said if he wants to deport himself, that's much like a lot of activities that Pierce is used to doing by himself, kind of like sex. He's used to doing that by himself. So I think he should go ahead and deport himself. I heard the United Kingdom doesn't want him back, so maybe he can go live in North Korea or Cuba or somewhere like that. That would really appreciate him.
Well, I find it really hilarious because he made the statement that, you know, although I love the country as a second home and one that has treated me incredibly well, as a concerned parent of a one-year-old daughter who may have to attend an American elementary school in 3 years from now, you know, I would seriously consider deporting myself. Well, you know, Dale, it's the holiday season. The Sounds of Music was on the other night. So let me give you a nice quote, Mr. Morgan. So long, farewell, Auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. Seriously, I can't believe we're even giving this guy the time of day. This guy's pathetic excuse for an immigrant to this country. He really, who is he to tell us what to do with our laws when he certainly, clearly, apparently he doesn't want to abide by our laws, so why don't he go back to the UK where their crime is a lot higher, Dale?
I guess he's trying to get his ratings up or save his show. I mean, he's in a race with that dude Rachel Maddow at PMSNBC to see which one of their shows can reach the bottom the quickest. So I'm thinking this is his way of getting ratings. He came out right after this. I think it was last week. My days were all running together with the holidays. But mm-hmm. I think it was mm-hmm. last Thursday that he came out and said that we need an amendment to the Bible as well. So he wants to change the Constitution. He wants to change the Bible. He thinks that they're flawed documents. You know, he needs to go back to where he came from. You know, to give you another quote, I'll quote why he belongs back in the United Kingdom. Archie Bunker said, England ain't nothing but a place for fags. So I think that might...
Well, you know, I tell you what, it might be for Piers Morgan. You know, it's really interesting to me. As Mayo was pointing out in the chat room, you know, Piers Morgan is not a U.S. citizen.
Nope.
So he says he's protected by our First Amendment. Well, you're not a U.S. citizen. You don't want to abide by our Bill of Rights and the Second Amendment as part of that Bill of Rights. Then to hell with you. You have no First Amendment rights either. Sorry about your luck. You can't pick and choose what you want to abide by in this country. That's not the way the United States works. And Mayo also pointed out that he ran away from the UK because of the phone hacking scandal. And that
is true. He was involved in that scandal, along with, ironically, people like the guys who run Fox News were involved in the same hacking scandal over there with their tabloid that Pierce was involved in. I think what he's doing, he's just using a page from the old Andy Kaufman playbook. He's trying to get attention of viewers by making inflammatory remarks on his own program, and yet it's working. I mean, I sincerely doubtful if he's given a truthful, heartfelt, sincere opinion in years. I would say just ignore him and his network. But again, I think he would fit in North Korea or Cuba or China.
Well, it's really fascinating to me, too, is because, you know, this guy took over for Larry King. And from what I understand, Larry King, everybody laughed and joked with, all right? I mean, that's just the way it was. Larry King could be serious one minute and crazy the next, and that's okay. But that's what made the appeal with Larry King. Piers Morgan is not even at the level of a Larry King. His numbers are way down. They have not been able to get the audience back that Larry King had because, you know, what is it about CNN that they feel like they've got to go out of the country to pick up a loudmouth who doesn't have a clue what this country is all about anyway, and that's what Piers Morgan is. You know, for this guy to become this outspoken critic in America about American policy is beyond me. You know, this Newtown shooting, I mean, let's talk about this realistically. Guns are not the problem. The idiots that we allow to have these guns sometimes are. You know, if you, we've talked about that ad nauseum. You guys can go to LouisvillePolitics.com, and you can see what I've got to say about all of that. But yeah, you know, it's totally pathetic how an outsider is going to sit here and try to tell me what should be acceptable in my country and what shouldn't. So he should be deported. Get rid of his ass. We got no need for him here. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I mean, Morgan, and again, if we're going to call him by that name, it's just like Larry King and Barack Obama. They go by multiple names. I mean, do we call him Pierce Morgan, or do we call him Stephon Pugh O'Meara, which was his given name? That's what Pierce Morgan was born as, Stephon Pugh O'Meara. They all have alternate names. They're all these globalists. Again, he worked as a writer and a trash editor for British tabloids in the United Kingdom. I don't know how he got to elevate himself to successor to Larry King. I mean, I'll give Larry King credit. At least in his retirement, he's come around to the independent side. He did share the alternative presidential debate with the third-party candidates. But this guy, again, he's just a trash journalist. He was appointed editor of the News of the World, of all people, by Rupert Murdoch, who runs Fox News. So isn't it ironic? I want you to think that these people are all competing with each other, Fox News and CNN, and they're all buddy-buddy, just like our politicians are buddy-buddy with each other behind the scenes, but they like to pull the wool over our eyes, and it doesn't work with me.
Well, I totally agree with you, and it's totally hilarious to me. You know, and Stop It is in the chat room. I made a comment about, you know, that's not the way the USA works, picking and choosing laws you agree with. Stop It says it is the way the USA works. Well, unfortunately, it's not supposed to work that way. You know, I'm not going to get hung up on semantics. You're right. People pick and choose what they want to obey, what they don't want to obey, and the government picks and chooses what they want to enforce and what they don't, which is hilarious because we're going to get into the drug thing here in a minute in HSBC. But, you know, you got a point there. But here's another point, too. Mayo was pointing out in the chat room that, you know, how come no one has mentioned knife crimes in the United Kingdom? There's Pierce Morgan home.
Knife crimes in Asia. We had the same day as the supposed lone gunman, which I don't believe for a minute, shot up the place in Newtown, Connecticut. The same day we had over in Asia a knife killing with the same number of deaths. So, again, you go to United Kingdom or Asia, you go to these places, and you go to the cutlery department. I think I mentioned this on one of my shows, and it literally says there that you have to be 18 years old to buy cutlery.
Yeah. Oh, I know, and you did. We did actually mention that a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, that's fascinating because, you know, we've got over 29,000 knife deaths in the U.K. How many murders have there been by guns in the United States just in the last year? Any idea?
I have no idea. We go to Chicago, where supposedly there are no guns. They have the most of any place in the state.
Yeah. Well, Chicago's already had over 500 this year, 500 homicides. You know, but we don't even approach. The point is we don't even approach 29,000 knife victims in the United Kingdom with our guns here in the United States. So, you know, that's just one more example of the foolishness and the idiocy of people like Pierce Morgan. I get so disgusted when I see guys like that getting a voice. It drives me completely bananas. It really does. And this guy is just driving me completely bananas. But we know where we stand on Pierce Morgan. Let's move to other news. Hillary Clinton, you know, she apparently was hospitalized with a blood clot, supposedly obtained when she fell and hit her head and got the concussion. Now, what's interesting about that story is this. 2 hours before they reported that Hillary Clinton had just been admitted to the hospital with a blood clot, they were reporting about the Clintons, they were having a ball at their end-of-year vacation outside the U.S. I believe they were in Puerto Rico. Well, okay, U.S., you can call it which one. But they were in Puerto Rico for their end-of-year vacation. 2 hours prior to this report, they were showing pictures of these guys in Puerto Rico enjoying their vacation, and now she's admitted to a hospital in the U.S. How much of this is fact and how much of this is fiction, Dale?
I don't know. Hillary Clinton, God rest her soul. Did she die yet?
No. I know, man. I know.
Well,
I know she's resolution.
In some newspapers for George Herbert Walker Bush, so I figure that's the next thing. They love to write these obituaries before the people die, so I was just wondering.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You know, but it's interesting to me because every time it heats up with Benghazi, Hillary Clinton all of a sudden has a problem. She was supposed to go and testify and did not because she supposedly fell and got a concussion. So they sent aides to testify on her behalf. Then Congress started saying, that's okay, we still want to hear your testimony. We'll hear it after the first of the year. Well, now all of a sudden she's got a blood clot and can't show up to Congress this week or next week because of that. There's always something. You know what I mean? And that seems to be the big problem for me because I don't believe in coincidence. Not to this extreme. You know, sometimes things happen, but when it happens every time, it's no longer coincidence, is it?
No. Most things in politics, that we follow the puppeteers and we stop looking at the marionettes and look at the people pulling the strings. Well, we'll see what's going on, but we know for too long that's called conspiracy theory. And I keep telling people all the conspiracy is two or more people doing something behind the backs of one or more other people, and that happens all the time in our government.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. You know, and we've got our own things going on. This is something that's not a conspiracy theory, I don't think. You know, we've got the problems with Benghazi. We've got the problems with Hillary Clinton. The report coming out of Benghazi from the State Department or from Congress is just incredible to me. Inadequate security, but we want to depend on our government to keep us secure when they take our guns. All right. Dangerous threat assessments that were ignored. You know, anything and everything you could possibly imagine going wrong in a situation went wrong in Benghazi. It's not a snowball effect. When you have that many things go wrong, you've got a systemic problem here. So it was either purely intentional or these people purely don't have a clue what they're doing. Which one was it?
It's a combination. I mean, we see the connections. We see what goes on behind the scenes with Benghazi. We see the crap they throw up on the big screen, the small screen, to try to distract us, to keep from seeing what's really going on behind the scenes with things like Fast and Furious and Benghazi and Lipor and all these things they don't want us to read about.
Oh, that's exactly it. You know, we look at this. I mean, the imminent threat in Benghazi was reflected a pure failure in the intelligence community. You know, is it because Osama bin Laden was dead? I don't think so. You know, you've got more Islamist terrorist extremists right now than we did when Osama bin Laden was alive.
Well, we should do a spreadsheet, you know, for each time that he died. Remember, we killed him 6 or 7 times, according to our own government intelligence.
Well, this is true. This is true. But, you know, I was talking to a dolphin the other day. You know, I actually went to the ocean. I just walked down the street and went to the ocean. I live in Louisville, Kentucky. It's right on the border, you know. So I walked right down to the ocean, and I talked to Flipper, and Flipper told me that he really had Osama's body in the water now. And,
wow.
You know, the fish ate on him for about a week. So this time it's really true. And who can argue with Flipper, right?
Can't argue, right?
I mean, you know, that's the opinion of what...
You talk about the guns and the knife crimes, and we're backpedaling a little bit. But the thing that's driving the establishment and the globalists crazy, and it's a direct correlation, this goes back to the there are no coincidences department, violent crime is way down. If you realize and think about it, we didn't have any of these school shootings for a good decade. You know, as we went through the entire Bush administration, say what you will, without these school shootings. And now all of a sudden we have all these school shootings. What a coincidence that we have these multiple shootings and school shooting and knife killing and all this the month between Obama's reelection and his re-inauguration. But violent crime overall, it's way down. That's because people are buying more guns. And this is what the establishment hates. Yeah, this is what the establishment hates, because people are buying a ton of guns, and more guns equals less crime.
Well, violent crimes in Chicago are way up
because
they don't have any guns. You know,
yeah.
And a minute ago I was pointing out the knife victims in the UK that Mayo had posted.
Yep.
Well, our good friend Paul Hargrove, Stop Invisible Taxes, has just gave us some numbers. Here's your annual firearm homicides in 2009. I guess that's the last full year he could pull up right now. Annual firearm homicides in the U.S. in 2009 were 9,146.
Wow.
Compared to over 29,000 knife victims in the UK. When you look at this, you know, and you get into even more things, according to the total number of homicides, the annual homicides by any means, that's knives, guns, whatever, total homicides in the U.S. was 15,000. That's a 1-5. 15,241. Compared to just one method of death in the U.K. of 29,000. Piers Morgan, go home. You want to look at an even more startling stat. Motor vehicle deaths in the U.S. in 2011, there were over 32,367 deaths by people that were driving in the U.S. So here you go. Let's go ahead. Let's ban cars. We have to get rid of the automobiles. People are dying in automobiles. We have got to get rid of them. They're nothing but gasoline-powered missiles. Unless, of course, you got a diesel or electric, then it takes you 20 minutes to get to speed, but you'll get there. You know, let's get rid of the airplanes. The planes crashed into the World Trade Center, took down the Twin Towers in 2001 that started all of this, killed over 3,000 people. Two planes did that, folks. Let's get rid of the planes. We can no longer fly.
Yeah, the government's own statistics show us that on average every year, 750 Americans are killed by hands and feet. So we better have some kind of regulation on hands and feet. I challenge Congress to pass legislation that would limit the use of hands and feet so we'll all be safe.
I didn't know that, man. I guess we're going to cut hands and feet off. Don't know how we're going to farm and get our food, but, you know, that doesn't matter at this point.
I just wait for
hands
the government. I mean, you know, just go to the store. You know, be like these liberals who don't think that food actually grows on a farm and they don't want you to hunt. And they'll say, stop eating the food that you had to kill and just go buy it from the store where they make it fresh.
Oh, I hear you. And that's the lunacy of the liberal left. It really is. It's one of the many things that drives me. Because when I continue seeing stuff like this, I can't help but continue to get pissed off.
Yep.
You know, the United States is becoming this dictatorship, and we're doing it willingly and openly. That's what scares the hell out of me. That's why I started the show the way I did tonight. We've got to get pissed off, and we're not doing that. Let's go to the phones. I think this might be our good friend, Paul. Paul Holliger, is this you?
Good Monday, guys. How's life?
Hey. Happy New Year's to you, sir, in case I miss you later. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, listen. You know, there are people who will argue that comparing a handgun or a rifle or any type of firearm with an automobile is not a fair comparison, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those are two different instruments used for intended use is totally different. You know, and that argument is as good as far as it goes, but it needs to go one step further to make it a complete argument. And that would be if you take your car and you attempt to run over a police officer, what do you get charged with? Assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah,
assault
okay.
with a deadly weapon. Your car is then classified as a deadly weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ed, I think it is a fair comparison when we equivocate, if you will, make equal both guns and autos. Both of them are deadly weapons when directed toward the police because they'll charge you with assault with a deadly weapon in a New York second.
Well, you know, that's really interesting too, Paul, because I totally agree with what you're saying there, and that's why I'm kind of going where I'm going. And Dale just mentioned hands and feet. Back in the 70s, when I was growing up, if you knew karate and you were certified karate, then your hands and your feet were considered lethal weapons. They had the ability to kill you. Dale pointed out a minute ago.
For the children, Paul.
Right. So, you know, I mean, so the thing is, where do we draw this proverbial line? When do we start realizing anything can be used as a weapon if the intent is to kill? Because it all comes down to intent. Because, you know, a gun doesn't pull the trigger on its own. An airplane doesn't fly into a building on its own. A car doesn't drive itself into somebody or another vehicle on its own. And whoever has their hands and feet attached, if you decide to choke somebody out, your hands didn't do that on their own. That's the whole point. We're taking human nature, we're taking personal responsibility out of the mix, which is nothing new in a lot of areas, but it's becoming a startling thing where we're looking at everything. I want to get this other call in real quick, guys. Area code 410, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What can we do for you?
I was just going to say something a little smart thing. I was going to stand up for all the hippies out there and ban showers and bathtubs. How many people slip and die every year?
You know what? That's not a smart-ass thing because it's actually true. That's actually true. I don't find that being a smart aleck at all because, you know, again, where do you draw the line? If people die of doing something, you know, then that thing automatically becomes a dangerous instrument, does it not? So a bathtub is a dangerous instrument. You can slip and fall and hit your head and die. Hillary Clinton, if she would have died getting a concussion falling at home like they're trying to tell us she did, they would have outlawed countertops with corners on it because, by God, somebody could die. You see what I mean? That's the whole point. That's why we've got to go down. That's why we've got to go down this road and have this discussion because these ultra-left liberal nut jobs continue trying to take anything and everything away from us that they think or deem as dangerous.
Is it not just the leftists? It's people trying to take the easy road out here. I mean, you're talking about lazy people who want welfare given to them, who want government to tell them everything. Look throughout history, really honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Does most people actually want to be free, or do they want government to conduct and control them. I mean, there's a reason we have socialist governments popping up all over the place that doesn't work.
Well, sure, but you know, you're saying that that's not a leftist agenda? It's not just the leftist?
I know it is. No,
okay. I think it may not be a leftist agenda. It's a big government agenda. It wants the government to control everything. You can have whatever the government says you can have, whether it's left or right. Let's get away from the left-right paradigm.
Well, here's the deal. I say leftist agenda because it is a leftist agenda, but I'm also not naive. It takes two people to tango. The Republicans sell out for some kind of gain somewhere else. They'll sell out individual liberties on the backside, while they're publicly denying it, so that they can save $500,000 to a rich guy that don't need it. So there's always a trade-off somewhere. Okay, now I say don't need it because that's what the left say. That don't mean that I agree with that. Okay, what you earn is yours, by God. Nobody should have the right to take it away from you involuntarily. But, you know, when we look at this paradigm, though, it's the uniparty at work, is it not?
Well, I'm glad you said what you did, Ed, about the not needing it, because that line right there, I have more debates with people who are statist, and I'm not going to say they're left-wingers or right-wingers. I'm just going to call what it is, statist. I have more arguments with these people. That's the first thing they say about guns. Well, mm-hmm. Why do you need an AR-15? Why do you need an AK-47? And I tell them, look at all the crap you filled your houses with, all these hoarders. You don't need any of that crap, but I don't want to make a law saying you can't have it.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I think you do need it, and I tell you why. Right here in Louisville, our homicide jumped up. We had 54 last year. We've already got 69 in 2012, and this night's not over yet. Okay? So our homicides are going up. Greg Fisher, our mayor, you can go to wave3.com for this story. And, yes, I am pushing wave3.com. I am a member of their editorial board, so that's fair disclosure. But, you know, when we look at this, though, Greg Fisher says, our mayor says, that we cannot arrest our way out of the problem. We've been doing it that way for years and years, and nothing happens. Clearly it doesn't work, and we know this. So wave3 hit a hit. Go ahead.
Guys, listen, you're talking about guns. I mean, if you look back if you go back to just to Germany, all communist outlooks, all communist regimes took guns away because the Second Amendment was there to protect citizens from the government. That's a last resort.
Well, you can go all the way back to Austria.
This whole argument is so absurd. I'm so tired of hearing people saying we create more gun-free zones to be less violent. Because all it does is shoot. It creates a gun shooting gallery for the criminal insane to go and kill people. The liberals are at fault for all this crap, and I'm really getting tired of them blaming conservatives and constitutionalists for everything. That's just absurd.
Well, I totally agree with you, and that's actually where I'm heading to. Because you know the reason I'm bringing up the Louisville situation is because we do originate out of Louisville, Kentucky. But what I'm trying to get here, though, is because our mayor says that most of the violence around our city is related to drugs, availability of drugs, selling of drugs, et cetera. And then our Wave 3 undercover hidden camera investigation shows people just passing around guns like it's nothing to it in front of a couple of places down in the West End. So when Dale says we don't need an AR-15, this is the point I was going for. When Dale says we don't need an AR-15, I say, yes, I do. When I've got a gang of 15 or 20 people that are grabbing guns in front of a store, they're going to go attack somebody. You know, I want an AR-15 so I can take a bunch of people out at one time.
I understand what you're saying, Ed, but they always bring this up, Ed. They always
if you're talking about
saying you don't need it in your home, if you live out in the East End somewhere and you're in an up well-to-do neighborhood, I'm just saying it's none of their business what I need. They don't have the right to take it away because there's lots of stuff. We learned in the 80s, it was a decade of greed, they called it. And people acute all these homes. Well, we got politicians with 6 or 7 homes and 2 or 3 bodyguards. So you can't tell them they don't need the bodyguards.
It's not their position to ask you what you need because the people asking you what they need always have much more than what they need.
Exactly.
That's a stupid question. And it's not their responsibility. It's not their part of their cause to ask us what we need. That's part of freedom. We get it because we want it. We can pay for it.
Exactly.
So screw it up.
Well, you're exactly right, and you know, and that's exactly where I was headed, because we want to blame drugs. We know that the drugs are not a big deal. I mean, if we really cared about drugs, then how does HSBC Bank, who just admitted to being nothing more than a money laundering operation for Mexican drug cartels, all right, and none of the bankers are going to go to jail because they're going to pay a $1.9 billion settlement. So nobody goes to jail. Nobody gets in trouble for illegally banking for Mexican drug cartels. But if you or me go outside and smoke a joint, we're going to jail. God forbid if we have a handgun in our trunk while we're doing it.
What happened in New York? That's
the whole point.
In New York, you had a straw buyer bucking at guns for some wacko who killed two firefighters. And it's the same thing that happened in Fast and Furious. We have the government providing guns to Mexican cartels. None of it makes sense.
Sure. Over 2,000 weapons are still missing. And this is what it really comes down to. You mentioned Germany. Let's talk about Austria. Hitler took Austria, but he didn't take Austria by tanks and guns. He did it while the people were smiling, waving, and clapping. Kitty Werthmann is a survivor of Hitler. She was 9 years old, almost 10, back in 1939 when all this took over. Hitler was elected by a landslide. People didn't have jobs. They were poor. They didn't have jobs. I mean, the economy was shot. You know, everybody was declaring bankruptcy. Any of that sound familiar? People were begging for food. So Hitler comes in. He gives these guys food stamps, starts feeding them and everything else. Sound familiar yet? 98% of the population voted to annex Austria to Germany. They give Hitler power. Everybody was tickled to death. Then they took religion out of schools. Uh-oh, can't have that. And I'm not going to turn this into the religious right. I'm not one of those guys. But we took the religion out of the schools. Education became nationalized. Then all of a sudden, you know, some people got killed. What happened then? Well, we can't have that. So let's go ahead and register all these guns. So then they had a national gun registration. Once they knew where all the guns were, they said we have to take the guns away because they're going to hurt people. Next thing you know, Hitler's at full power and we go into World War II. I mean, any of that sound familiar at all? That's a very, very short version here, folks. But when you look at history, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And we are repeating history, except this isn't Nazi Germany. This is Nazi America. Would you agree? Dale? Paul?
Yeah, I'm here, Ed.
Wow, nobody wants to talk. Okay.
I think maybe Dale dropped off for a few minutes.
He's actually showing still in the queue. I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, so, you know, we look at all of this, though, Paul, and where does that leave us?
It leaves us on the road that Obama and his handlers want us on, and that is... They want us to end up fighting amongst ourselves so that they can sit back and watch the fallout and figure out how they're going to enrich themselves with the resulting chaos. So I don't have a great deal of hope for the next few years in terms of whether the sheeple are going to wake up. I think the sheeple are going to – they're going to plunge over that cliff. They're going to follow the pipe right over the cliff.
Well, I think they already are. And the thing is, they're doing it willingly. They're doing it with a smile on their face, just like they did in Austria. Just like they did in Austria. So when we look at this, you lose freedom of speech, you lose your guns, you know, you go to school. The schools weren't teaching education. They were teaching kids nationalism. That was the Hitler schools. That was the German schools. This is Austria. You know, when we look at all of this into play, nobody can see a comparison here with the United States and the road we're going down. See, that's what always puzzles me, Paul, because we've got history to back us up, but the sheep want their food stamps until they can't get them anymore and they're starving.
Well, the sheep want Santa Claus. They want Santa Claus, the government.
You're right.
To take from others. Santa Claus and Robin Hood all rolled into one big animal. Here's the only problem with that is as long as there are resources to pillage and plunder by Robin Hood and to redistribute by Santa Claus, that system works. But ultimately, those resources become depleted, or those who have those resources, they get out of the game. They go elsewhere. So, and then the system will collapse on itself, and that's when some really nasty civil strife will occur.
Right. So, and, you know, and that's the thing, because we need you know, people to stand up, and we're not going to get there. I don't think so. You know, at one time I had hope yeah, folks, believe it or not, I had hope, you know, that we would get this. I had hope a few years ago that we the people would get this, that we the people would understand the road we were going down.
Well,
it
Ed,
didn't
let me
happen.
Ed, let me say this. Can you hear me okay? Paul yeah. uses the correct vernacular, and that is calling these people sheeple, because they don't want any freedom. They smilingly go along with this because they want to be secure. Well, one of the few presidents that we've had worth praising was Dwight D. Eisenhower, and he said, if you want total security, go to prison, because then you'll be fed, clothed, and given medical care, but the only thing lacking is freedom.
Okay, and that's another thing.
How is that not true? That's what they want. They want to be fed.
Well, I agree with you.
Given medical care by the government, and you'll get no freedom.
I agree with you, and that's another thing that Kitty Werthmann points out, too, when it comes to medical. You know, because in medical, Hitler decided he was going to give everybody free doctor care. Well, tax rates went up to 80% of their income because it was free medical. So tax rates went up to 80% of their income. Because everything was free, you had socialized medicine. People were going to the doctors for everything. So the doctors couldn't do anything. If you needed any kind of elective surgery, you had a 1 to 2 year wait. Sound familiar? They do that in Canada. The Canadians that have the money come to the U.S. now to get their elective surgery because they can't get surgery in Canada. Okay? So we look at all of this stuff. The medical school researchers, that stopped. So the best doctors left Austria and they started going to other countries like the USA. But what's going to happen now with our best countries? What's going to happen now with our best doctors? Where are they going to go? You see what I mean? So all this is relative. But nobody wants to spend the time getting involved and making a difference with it. And that's what drives me completely nuts.
No, I disagree with that assertion. There are people who want to get involved and are getting involved in an attempt to head off what they can, but they're outnumbered pretty heavily. And it is amazing how much success can occur, even with the odds being against such folks, that they're still able to get some wins here and there. So the steamroller, while it is moving along, it is not. Steamrollers, as you recall, have a very narrow path. And
yes, they do.
If you can avoid that path, you can have success once the steamroller gets past your position. So we're having success, not to the degree that we like, but we're having success. Now, is it going to make a difference in the big scheme of things? Only time will be able to answer that. My crystal ball is still a little bit cloudy on that.
So how much time do we have, Paul? Seriously, how much time do we have?
In terms of guesstimating, it depends on how much fiat currency our government decides to print up.
Yep.
Because every time this debt increases, all they have to do is print up this worthless money, and that'll satisfy that. Okay, I'll tell you, one of the best barometers of how little a currency is worth is how much of that currency does it take to acquire precious metals. For example, gold prices in the last 10 years has more than doubled. Why is that? Because there's so much U.S. dollars in circulation that the individual dollar is worth considerably less than what it was 10 years ago, and that's why it takes so many more of them to buy the precious metals. So the precious metal market is a pretty good barometer, and with them continuing to increase, that is just proof positive that the fiat currency is barely worth the paper it's printed on.
But we don't have a currency problem, Paul. We don't have a money problem. We don't have a debt problem. I mean, ask Barack Obama. He went on Meet the Press, NBC's Meet the Press on Sunday, and he bragged about how he cut spending by more than $1 trillion in 2011. Never mind that the White House's own Office of Management and Budget said that federal spending actually increased by $147 billion.
This is
what we're talking about. So these guys, you know, we can talk about that, but these guys don't have a clue what's real and what's not. I mean,
I'm going to really disagree with that statement there. These guys do have a clue as what's real and what's not. Barack Obama is just a pathological liar. I mean, there's no other way to say that. When he gets up and says one thing after his own Office of Management and Budget mm-hmm. refutes that statement, mm-hmm. then there's only one word that can describe an individual like that, and that's a liar. I have a running disagreement. I've actually strained a personal relationship that I have with one of my sports buddies when I made the statement that nearly every politician is a bona fide liar. And he disagreed with me on that. He's kind of the liberal mindset. He says, no, they're simply trying to do what they think is best. And I vigorously
best for them.
On that. And then he used the term spin. Well, lo and behold, you go to any dictionary online, spin is basically a exercise in deception. Well, deception and lying, aren't they about the same thing? So I actually have a relationship that's been strained a little bit because of my vigorous assertion that most politicians, are just liars. They're just liars.
But why? Why? See, here's the thing, though. Why do the American people buy this hogwash? Why has America become so apathetic? Because America today reminds me of the 1930s Austria.
Piece of cake, Ed, and for the very same reason. It takes too much work and effort for people to go out and discover the truth themselves. They're lazy. They're just lazy. They want, in Austria, they were looking for their version of the Messiah. Well, ladies
right.
and gentlemen of the United States, that's who we have. Barack Hussein Obama is a Messiah figure.
Yep. The original Manchurian candidate, by the way. Okay, so we look at this kind of stuff, all right? And that's exactly it. I don't know if you guys ever watched the Star Wars stuff. I enjoy watching Star Wars movies. I love that kind of stuff. But when George Lucas came out with the first three chapters, you know, introducing, you know, Darth Vader and all that stuff, and Anakin Skywalker, all that crap, you know, one of the things that was said in a movie is they were sitting at their Congress there, and the girl, I can't remember what her damn name is, forgive me.
Princess Leia.
No, not Princess Leia. It's in the earlier movies. Anakin's girlfriend who became his wife before he became Darth Vader. Anyway, she gave birth to Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker. But anyway, she said, you know, she looks there and she's looking across when the leader of parliament takes control, who ultimately turns out to be the bad one, you know. But when the leader of parliament takes control and they're all standing and clapping and stuff, and she looks at that and goes, that's how liberty dies. Smiling and waving and clapping. And that's exactly what we're doing right now.
Yep.
We're smiling, waving, and clapping. Liberty is dying willfully and easily.
What you're describing was well chronicled as far back as the ancient Greeks. The ancient Greeks knew that way back when. And I just find it fascinating that the old saying that those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
Yep.
Apparently that has gone on through, you know, more than two millennium. So,
and that's exactly it. So how do we fix it? I don't think it's going to be fixed in my lifetime.
We don't fix it, Ed. It's because the one constant in all this is the human creature. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The human creature continues to ignore the lessons that history has to offer. And the only thing that the rest of us who actually take the lessons from history to heart, the only thing that we can do is effectively position ourselves that we don't get caught up in that tsunami when it's going to happen. And it's happened periodically throughout the course of human history. And, you know, some folks didn't prepare well, and they became extinct. So...
Well, that's exactly it. But this quote was from Star Wars 3. The character was actually Padme. I apologize for not knowing that a minute ago. But her statement is, so this is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause. And when we look at that, and let's look at this compared to today. Now, that's just a damn movie. It's supposed to be fiction, right? Yet, here we go. You know, a Wall Street Journal editor asked at one point if Bush was a Sith Lord. Hillary Clinton, while running for president, I know. Hillary Clinton, while running for office, called Dick Cheney Darth Vader. Okay? So we look at all of this stuff in play, and you can't help but laugh. You know, has fiction met, you know, reality? I don't know. But it's very, very interesting to me that we continue to applaud Obama like he's actually done something. And, you know, and here's the thing, because you know, Obama is now saying that he cut $1 trillion in the debt. We know that's a lie. You know, here's the greatest things he accomplished in 2012. For one thing, he messed up at Benghazi, and they've been trying to cover it up ever since. He has not provided any leadership on the economy, has not even put forth a budget, and he wants to blame Republicans for not having a budget. You know, he decided he was going to go ahead and suspend liberties. You know, he decided he was going to go ahead and expand Obamacare. Now we've got Obamacare. We no longer have the right or the choices to do anything. We're going to get stuck paying for something we can't use. Civil liberties, they can't decide on a budget, but they just extended the wiretapping provisions. They had no problem doing that for another 5 years to wiretap American citizens, but they can't agree on a budget, which is what they're supposed to be doing. You know,
along those same lines, there was a very interesting caller. I caught bits and pieces of Mark Stein sitting in for Rush Limbaugh today, and he had a caller.
My apologies. You listen to that show. Go ahead.
I agree.
Hey, he's got I thought Stein was from New Hampshire. Isn't that one of your favorite states?
I think Stein's from the United Kingdom, isn't he? Sure, it doesn't sound like he's from New Hampshire, but go ahead.
Well, he's based up there. Anyway, this caller calls in and made, I thought, was a pretty revolutionary statement in that he was actually advocating as a solution to teach these politicians that we're tired of them picking our pockets. He stated on the record that as far as he's concerned, the only solution that's going to work is that if people quit paying their taxes. Now,
okay.
Ed, that's one thing for you and I and Dale to talk about such matters in a private conversation. But this guy hits the largest syndicated radio show in the United States with that kind of statement. Now, is he a nut? No, I don't think he's a nut. I think he is either very courageous or somewhat foolish.
Right.
Okay, somewhat foolish. But that is a remarkable statement to make on the airwaves for the record. And it probably is not, he's not the only person that's thinking that kind of stuff, you know? So
I'm sure he's not. But again, you know, thoughts are one thing, actions are another. When does thought lead to action?
When it gets inspired or when somebody incites him. You and I, as individuals, we can conduct our one-person protests, and we can be effective as it relates to us. As it relates to us individually, we can be effective. If you're looking for someone to rise up like a counter-Messiah or the anti-Messiah to lead the charge against the Obamaites and such, I'm not sure you're going to see that anytime soon. But
I don't think we're going to see it anytime, period. I think ultimately what's happening right now is we are setting ourselves up to be the catalyst for World War III. If we're going to follow Germany down the abyss, and that's exactly what we're doing during the days of Hitler, folks, you can get angry, you can get mad, you can call me what you will. But our version of Hitler is sitting in the White House right now. And if we're going to follow that road and go down that road, then we are a few years away. But we're going to end up in World War III, and America is going to be the one leading the charge.
Well, what Paul just said about paying the taxes goes right back to a gentleman who was one of the biggest globalists of globalists, and for better or for worse, he worked under Ronald Reagan, and that was Alexander Haig. You guys remember the famous quote from Alexander Haig about paying taxes?
Go ahead, vaguely, but go ahead.
Alexander Haig, who was power-hungry of a globalist as they come, he under the Reagan administration, when you had some anti-Vietnam protests or some anti-nuke protests, I'm not clear which one it was at the time, but basically Alexander Haig said, the president said, Mr. President, let them march all they want as long as they keep paying their taxes.
Not a surprise. You know, there's even reports out there now that Obama actually had a hit list for some of the occupiers.
Oh, sure.
You remember the whole Occupy
movement. Surprised me at all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these deadbeats just wanted to go ahead and lay their head down somewhere and poop in the parks. But, you know, there was a hit list for the occupiers. Now, is that something anybody would agree with? I don't think so. But why not?
Well, many of us try to give the occupiers a chance. I know both Mr. Martin and I both wanted to side with the occupiers for a little bit, but they wouldn't put their money where their mouth was, so to speak. And we saw they quickly got co-opted by the Democratic National Committee, just like the quote-unquote Tea Party got co-opted by the Republican National Committee.
Well, I know Martin, and we'll probably get into a little bit of this tomorrow night when Martin's back, but I know Martin is extremely angry with the occupiers right now. He's been going nuts on Facebook.
They put their money where their mouth is, yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, from what I understand, and I don't have the whole story on this, we'll get it from him tomorrow night, but from what I understand, he actually agreed to fund part of what they were doing, and they didn't want to do any work.
Nope.
So, you know, but that's normal. That's what we expect, right?
Yep.
People want to run their mouth and not do anything. People think, yep, I run my mouth and not do anything. You can think that all you want to, but if you go to Google and you go ahead and do a Google search on Ed Springsteen out of Louisville politics, you'll see the people I've took on. You'll see the people I've beat, from Metro Council presidents and Metro Council members and beyond. I always run my mouth. I admit that freely. I believe in the First Amendment, and I will take it to the extreme. But I also back it up with action.
I think we've been very clear.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I think we've been very clear on this network. I guess this is where it's like a little shameless self-promotion. But the host of this network, we make it very clear what we're about. Like you said, you, Mr. Springsteen, you're out there doing this on the local scene. Mr. Martin has run for office, and he's put his money where his mouth is. And then we got on Sunday night our good friend Ken Moman. He ran as a Libertarian candidate. And, hell, we know very clearly what the Republican Party establishment thinks. We saw where several sources told us that they saw me, yours truly, as somebody who was going to come into their headquarters with an army and take over. So we made it very clear that we put our money where our mouth is.
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, we've got a great audience that does the same. Our good friend Paul Hogger, who's on the air with us. You know, let's stop it. These guys get involved. You know, the city couldn't put together any kind of a tip line that was going to help people, Metro employees or anybody else. So they did. They did it. They've led the way on the MSD stories. They finally brought MSD under some sort of accountability. They're a long way away from where they need to go, but at least they're actually trying to move in a different direction. You know, these guys got involved to make a difference. So there are people that go out and work to make a difference. But as Paul pointed out earlier, we're the minority. How do you get to the majority? How do you get the funding? You know, everybody that wants to sit out there and run their mouth. You know, they want to run their mouth. They want to bitch, moan, groan, and complain. But they don't want to give up $5 or $10 to help fund the effort. So, you know, the amount of progress that we're allowed to make is tied to the amount of money that's available. You know what I mean? None of us are rich. Everybody works for a living. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, those are the things. If we could get those people who agree with what we're doing, who agree with the message, who agree with what's going on, if they could pull their resources and put $5 or $10 a piece, how much money would that bring so that we could file the open records request? Those aren't free, folks. Don't let them kid you. You got to pay for that. How much money would that bring so you can file the lawsuits? You know, when I took on Jim King and I took on Judy Green and the other people, I didn't hire an attorney for that. I did it pro bono. Now, ultimately, the city ended up appointing an attorney because they said they had to by law. So the city spent $50,000 minimum on each of those cases on your behalf for no reason. Because I gave them the evidence. All they did was present the evidence that I gave them. They didn't do any research. They didn't have to present a damn thing. Okay? So if we could get people to pull their money together and start giving it to organizations like Stop It or right here at MVM, you know, or things like that, we could make that difference. But how do you get people inspired enough to do that, Paul? Because that's the biggest problem. Everybody still wants to talk, but they don't want to do any action, even if it's given a couple of dollars to fund the cause that makes a difference.
Well, inspiring would be the preferred way, okay, because then you have some pretty highly motivated people. However, most of the time people get incited to action because there's something that is causing them some personal either discomfort or personal grief, okay? And until enough people – and I say enough, enough doesn't have to be a majority. It just has to be a significant number of people who become irritated enough with what the government is doing to them in their everyday lives. They will ultimately draw the line and say, enough is enough. It's time for me to make a change. And then them, along with their like-minded brethren and sistren, are the ones that will set the wheels into greater motion than what they are right now. So I think, Ed, the bottom line on this is that things are going to have to get worse before they're going to get better.
Well, I'll agree with that. You know, and I'm just, the thing that scares me and concerns me the most is how much worse can it get? Because there are a hell of a lot of people out there that are struggling. I'm one of them. You know, there are a lot of people out there who can't get ahead, who can't make ends meet, who are doing things or filing bankruptcies or losing their homes. The banks aren't losing anything. The government's bailing them out. They're not losing a damn thing. The CEOs of these banks, HSBC is a great example. It's okay to go ahead and launder drug money, but it's not okay to smoke a joint that gave that drug dealer the money for you to launder, which is a weird damn thing to me. You know, so we've got all of these different paradoxes going on. We are being controlled as sheep, and it's time to lose the controls. Dale, final thoughts. We got to wrap this up, man. It's New Year's Eve. Final thoughts, Dale. Thank you for calling, Paul. I appreciate it as always, man. Your input is excellent. Thank you so much. Dale, go ahead.
Well, final thoughts. We're talking about getting the people involved, and that's what you have to do is get them willing to get up off the couch, get their asses and put their money behind their mouth and just not protest. Protest is a form of it. We know that elections, some people have given up on the elections. Some people see that as the primary way to do this. But the bottom line is getting those people up and doing it. We can go all the way back to Thomas Jefferson, where Thomas Jefferson said, basically, you got to get the people involved. And you have to inform them, enlighten them, educate them, for them to get out there and make a difference. He was a firm believer, along with other people like George Washington and Benjamin Franklin and all these founding fathers like John Henry and those guys. They wanted to let you know that you need to get out there and be the government that you want to be the difference that you want to see. And they were not afraid to stand up and say death to the New World Order.
You know, and that's the amazing thing, because somehow, now I understand, you know, it's like a Xerox copy. As time goes on, you make a copy of the original, it looks pretty good. But the more copies you make of it, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
And essentially, that's what we've done with America. Our founding fathers were the originals. They were willing to put it on the line. They were willing to die if necessary. They were willing to do whatever it took to create this great nation that we call the United States of America. The Constitution is the best rule book for any known civilization today. I firmly believe that. But as time has went on, you've had these people start making Xeroxes. We have Xeroxed people to the point that these people no longer know what the Constitution is about, what liberty is about, what freedom is about. And it's time that we start bringing that to the table. Now, for the last several months here at MVM and LouisvillePolitics.com, we've spent a great deal of time on national issues. There were two reasons for that. One, because we were in a presidential election year. People were going to spend most of their time looking at these national candidates. So it was a great opportunity for us to get involved in national issues. Prior to 2012, MVM has always been focused on Louisville, Kentucky, and the southern Indiana region. It's been a local kind of a deal. 2012 allowed us to expand our wings and move beyond that, if you will. 2013 is going to bring a great opportunity for us to bring both sides of the equation together with a little bit of the National Enquirer involved. In 2013, we will start outing those like Rick Blackwell, Greg Fisher, Jim King, Madonna Flood, and a whole host of others. But we're not going to just deal on what they're doing from an ethical standpoint while they're in office. We're going to start getting into their personal lives. We're going to start outing who their girlfriends and their boyfriends are. Jerry Abramson, we know who your boyfriend is. He's outed. Count on it. 2013, I've decided, is going to be the year of MVM. We are not going to hold any punches back from these people. Now, I'm going to get chastised, ridiculed, and shamed for becoming a National Enquirer, but here's the reality. These people are sitting out there making rules on a local level that affect each and every one of us because they're going to benefit from it. If this is the only way I can get them accountable in a quicker way than to spend every damn dime and 1,000 hours on each individual case trying to hold them accountable, then that's what's going to happen. But we're going to move beyond that. Mitch McConnell, you're not off the hook. Mitch McConnell, you're involved. John Yarmuth, you're involved. We're going to take the best of what we've learned over the last 4 or 5 years with this enterprise at MVM, and we're going to take it to the next level. No longer are we going to focus most of our attention on a national issue or a local issue and just talk about gun control. We're going to bring it all to the head. We're going to bring the national and the local together, and we're going to set the standard for other communities to follow. We want the communities to be involved, because every national politician started out on a local basis. So we're going to make sure that we affect change right here locally, but that change is going to have a ripple effect all the way to Washington, D.C. For you guys who have been following MVM and LouisvillePolitics.com for the last few years, we appreciate it. But you haven't seen nothing yet. 2013 is going to be a banner year. We're going to go above and beyond anything you've ever experienced before. Call us what you will. Get angry with me all you like. But these clowns are sitting out there trying to hold us down. These clowns are sitting out here trying to keep us from making a living. So these clowns are going to be held accountable at every possible level. Welcome to the game, boys and girls that are elected, because Ed Springsteen and MVM and Louisville Politics are going to take your asses down the tube. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, we did not get into the fiscal cliff. We'll get into that tomorrow night. Ed Martin would just love that. You know, our resident Mensa member and Austrian economist, he'll love to expand on that. So we'll have Ed Martin in here tomorrow night with that. Dale, of course, will join us Wednesday and Thursday. Dale, I appreciate you calling in, man. I wasn't expecting that.
Not a problem.
Hey, man, I appreciate that. So everything works out well. In the meantime, folks, that's a wrap for tonight. Stay tuned for the coming year. It's going to be a blast. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Please, don't drink and drive. There's all kinds of opportunity out there to get home free of charge. Call a taxi, call AAA. Both of those are free to you tonight. Don't drink and drive. Drink responsibly. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Have a great night. We'll see you next year.
Everybody, gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
The government can.
And who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
Government can
come to mix it up. Well, I'll make it all taste.